Potawatomi Sportsbook in Milwaukee has dozens of self-service kiosks and over 2,000 square foot video wall. It's an amazing place. Seating for over 200, full restaurant and bar, VIP deck and more. It's a sports betting paradise, and it's also a sports paradise. Bet above the rest. Packers lose 24-22 to the Bears. Luckiest man in the world is Matt LaFleur, because if Washington loses, the whole world would have to know how stupid he was in game management at the end of the game. But no one cares, because it becomes like an exhibition game. Jason Wilde and Gary Ellerson take over. Good evening, Gary and Jason. And Jason, Gary, do you have a question? Or Jason, would you like an opening statement?
Well, that wasn't an awkward start at all. Look, let me ask you this. Since you mentioned it, so Jim Polzine, outstanding columnist for the Wisconsin State Journal, and I were just discussing this. Like, I don't know. You were very harsh in your critique of the time management.
It's impossible to be too critical.
Explain to me why, because there's a situation there where given the conditions weather-wise. And where you're at in the game, where the clock is, like, there is a debate there of do you kick it or do you go for it, right? Like, I guess I don't understand. Like, certainly he screwed up. Given the outcome, there's no denying that that ended up costing him. Now, if you would have thought that your defense was going to allow that pop gun offense to get in field goal position, with how terrible their offense is, then you're a visionary, because I would have never seen
that. No,
that
isn't
coming.
That's not the part. That has nothing to do with the deal.
But when I look at where they're at in the game, and he was intending to go for it there. The plan was to go for it, not to kick it. And if he, like, is it a terrible decision then if he lets him kick it and then he misses it? Like, I guess I'm not understanding why it's this incredibly horrible mistake by him that is indefensible, in your words.
Well, if there's no doubt
it's a mistake. I don't disagree.
What are you going to do if you're going to kick it and you're worried about it being missed, then you keep all three timeouts. If you're not worried about it being missed, then you're going to go with the kick. Then you let the clock go down as long as possible, and make either the Bears do it, because when you make it, the Bears have only like 20 seconds left in the game.
So what we're not critiquing the timeout itself. We're critiquing when he took it.
Right, given what he decided to do. Yes, it's
so the Emmanuel Wilson run loses 2 yards. They snap that at 105.
Right.
He calls the timeout with 58 seconds.
Right.
What you're saying was he should have run the play clock all the way down.
Of course, if he's going to kick the field goal.
And then pop the timeout to discuss whether or not he wants to go for it or kick the field goal.
I mean, if kicking the field goal is an option that you're going to consider, you get the clock all the way down so the Bears have no time. If you're going to go for it, then you'd call timeout right away to give yourself
right,
as much time.
Right, but you're not sure
then you shouldn't be the head coach.
Sure.
You're not sure what?
If you're going for it or kicking it.
Then you can't be the head coach.
Well, come on.
How do you not have a decision as to what you're going to do and how you're going to play it? You've got to be kidding me.
It's a 55-yard field goal. It's not a chip shot
field
goal.
Yeah,
what do you mean fine?
You don't know. Those things never cross your mind before you get to that point?
Of course they do.
Well, then what are you going to do? And you use the clock based on what you're going to do. I don't know how you can defend it. That's what's... How do you defend that?
I'm not saying it's not a mistake. I'm saying it's not a indefensible,
yes,
can't understand the reasoning at all mistake.
Yes.
I disagree with you.
Well, no. He has two choices how you handle them, one way or the other. He did the impossible. He did the worst of both. If you're going to call the timeout, then you go for it. If you're going to kick it, you let the clock go down. He called the timeout and kicked it. He should be the coach of the Bears.
Yeah, I'm not denying that it was a mistake. There's no and I agree that he deserves criticism for it. We're not arguing the same argument here. You're making this sound like there is no way in God's green earth you can even understand why he did what he did.
I cannot. That's
saying,
correct.
Yeah. Right. Oh, fine. Then I don't know how to. I'm not sure what to tell you, because the Bears take over at their own 20-yard line then after the kickoff, and you get a horse collar tackle. You allow an offense that hasn't done squat all game long to convert with a 15-yard completion after the 15-yard
right.
penalty. So now they're at midfield, at least at some level. And then they also have the one play that gets wiped out by the illegal shift, which was another. They had picked up the first down with that. It's 3rd and 11. There's 15 seconds left. And you allow the 18-yard completion and enough time to spike the ball to stop the clock. Like, that deserves criticism, too. Like,
all, yes, it does. All of those things can't occur if he doesn't do what he did. You agree with that? None of that can occur.
Sure.
Okay. That's fine.
If he takes more time before he like, my issue isn't with the timeout. My issue is he should have let the clock run further and then taken the timeout to decide whether you're kicking it or not. But, again, the Bears' first play from scrimmage, they have one timeout left. They have 48 seconds. They've lost 10 in a row. Their rookie quarterback doesn't know what the hell he's doing. They are a abject failure of an offense. So even if he didn't let enough time run out before he calls the timeout, before the go-ahead field goal, there is no excuse for allowing the Bears offense to get in position to kick the game winner. Would you agree with that as well?
I agree with that. But Gary, you take over here, because I'm...
You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Yeah, I'm not mad at him. I'm just trying to understand. It's always so black and white with you. There's
now this
no,
one,
like,
now this is
nuance.
This is the most black. I it's so black. I mean, this I can't comprehend the discussion as you can't from your side. Take it away, Gary.
Let's move on. Let's talk about this, Jason. So I felt like, to me, this should have been a game with forward momentum to get into the playoffs. Yeah, a couple things happened, the punt return and then the fumble by Jaden Reed. I mean, you had a lot of things that went wrong in this game where I felt like, I'm not necessarily they weren't into it, but it's just too many things happened early on to try to get me going with forward momentum with this team against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, I mean, look, they played poorly, and even Matt LaFleur admitted, you know, he said that everything's open to question at this point as to whether or not they did a good job of making sure these guys were focused and locked in throughout the week against a team that had lost 10 in a row and lost 11 in a row to the Packers, that had never beaten the Packers with Matt LaFleur as the coach. So when I look at their performance, like, yes, they lose Jordan Love. Should they have been able to win even with Jordan Love not playing? Yeah. They take Josh Jacobs out after 6 carries. Should they still have beaten these guys without Josh Jacobs? Yeah. Should they have won this game in spite of Matt LaFleur's mismanagement of the clock with that timeout before the go-ahead field goal? Yeah. They did a bunch of things wrong on a variety of levels. You know, they blew a protection, and they're lucky that Malik Willis didn't go from filling in for Love to going to a local hospital. He got hit so hard on that fumble.
Yeah.
I mean, they blew that. You know, they obviously blow that protection, and they would have had to put. Then they would have had to put Love back in. Now LaFleur said he could have gone back in. What Love told us was that he still had numbness in his pinky finger in that section of his hand. So he was not 100%. You know, he didn't have all the feeling back. And the concern with an injury like that is a little bit like a stinger. I had someone explain this to me earlier, that it's great that he got feeling back. You don't want to get hit there again in some sort of freak act, because then it can shut down that nerve, and then you're not ready for Philly. So, you know, there were plenty of things that went wrong. The crazy thing about this is that the bottom line is, as bad as it feels and as bad of a loss as it is to a bad team, It doesn't change. It doesn't matter. Like, the fact that Washington won, which obviously LaFleur didn't know in real time, But even if they win this game, they're still in the exact same spot. The issue is how they feel and how we feel about them going into Philly now is very different than if McManus's kick is the game winner and that's it. And you know, even something simple like how, like, they did not slow play enough after the completion to DJ Moore to the 33-yard line. Like, you know this. I mean, usually 12 seconds is the absolute most that you can have left to be able, with a team with no timeouts, to be able to make a play and then get it stopped. And obviously, you're not allowed to take forever to get back to the line of scrimmage, but the way the defense handled that, it was, they did not, the seconds matter, right? It's basically 3 seconds that matter there. And so they didn't do that. Like, there's so many ways to look at this. And again, LaFleur's timeout mismanagement is certainly part of it. But my point is that watching this team play today, that was just one of a myriad of things that makes me look at this team and say, these guys aren't good enough. And it's great that they made the playoffs again, but when you go 1-5 in the division and you go 0-5 against the best teams on your schedule, you're not as good as we thought you are. And that, to me, is what we learned today. And I don't, you know, do I think it's possible that they can play a flawless game and go into Philly, into that environment, and win a playoff game? Sure, I think it's possible, but it, in no way do I think it's likely, and nothing that happened today gave me confidence that they could do that.
Is Jordan Love going to be 100%, or is there any way to know what his condition will be for Philly?
Yeah, I don't think we can know that for certain, but I think his, I think the feeling is that he can be 100%. Like, again, the fact that he was able to get feeling back for the most part. I mean, he initially he could not grip the football at all, and then it got better. So he still, basically what he said was he still had numbness along the pinky side of his throwing hand, but initially he had no feeling at all. So it got better that quickly that, you know, because the way I asked him was, if this was a one and done, if this was a playoff game, are you able to go back in? Are you going back in? And he said yes. So maybe he has to come out for a series, but then he, you know, or comes back in the second half or whatever it is. But this was not a game that was a playoff game, so he didn't. But I would think that there's more likely than not he'll be close to 100%, if not 100%. That having the week for that to calm, that nerve to calm down. I mean, it really is, it's the ulnar nerve, and I'm not a doctor, but I know enough of them that they can explain stuff to me. And that basically it is. It's literally the, he hit his funny bone and it wasn't funny. Like, that's exactly what happened to him.
Since we're talking injuries, what do we know about Christian Watson, Jason?
Yeah, I think he probably tore his ACL. And, I think that's most likely. I mean, based on LaFleur's affect, you know, and you know this, the medical staff, they do something called a drawer test that they can feel, given the looseness of the knee. So I'm sure those guys know. And when LaFleur reacts that way, that leads me to believe that that's what it is. Now, you know, again, they do the MRI to make sure and all the other stuff. I mean, you know, Tausch has gone through the opposite where they did that test. They thought that the ACL was intact. He undergoes surgery thinking he's getting an MCL repaired. It turns out he tore his ACL. So, again, I can't say that with 100% certainty, but based on Matt LaFleur's reaction, I think he probably tore his ACL. And look, the sad thing about this is that he probably shouldn't have played. And if Romeo Doubs doesn't get sick, it doesn't sound like he would have played. It sounds like they would have had him inactive. And, you know, the troubling thing,
Jason, is that, I don't understand that either. There's not another player.
I defended LaFleur, not defended, because I got Larry on Twitter saying this. I am not defending his. I'm saying I don't think it is the only reason they lost the game. I think you can argue the thought process.
No, I've moved
on.
I'm good.
Disagree. But here's the thing. He should be criticized for it. And here's something that, especially when something plays out the way it did, and you have no way of knowing, and I doubt that his left knee being bruised leads to his right knee being injured, but I can't say that for certain because I'm not a doctor. But I was saying this to Jim earlier, why don't you just go with four wide receivers then?
Yeah.
Why, not having Dobbs, do you have to have Watson active? I mean, not only was he active, but he started the game. Like, I'm a helicopter parent. It's fine if people make fun of me for that, but I would not have played. If there was any question on whether he should play or not, I'm just not playing.
Okay.
And, yeah, it's easy to say that now because he may have torn his ACL, but the fact of the matter is you can go into the game with four wide receivers. That's not what you want, but you could go with four wide receivers. You got four tight ends on the roster now.
Yeah.
Easily. If you lose a wide receiver, you can line up Tucker Kraft at wide receiver. Play John Fitzpatrick if you need
Musgrave.
To. Like, so, right. Yeah. So that's, to me, that, now that's a, that to me is a very legitimate criticism, especially with the hindsight now that the guy most likely tore his ACL. So you put that all together, and that to me is something that deserves to be questioned. But, you know, it should not, but the fact that LaFleur flat out said that had a lot to do with it in response to whether Dobbs is being sick factored into Watson playing, that to me really struck struck a nerve with me.
All right, Jason, the drive of the game presented by Boucher Automotive. Oh, and maybe you can also mention Heath, because I, 3rd and 21, that's a play we could talk about for years, but they didn't win, so we won't.
Right, you're right about that. And it was a great throw and a great catch. Like, look, Malik Willis, you know, look, he's certainly not the second coming of Aaron Rodgers, right? He does not have that level of talent, but I am fascinated by what he was, and he said it himself, he did not play well enough today, and I agree with him. But that throw and some of the other plays he makes, he is certainly a reclamation project worth continuing. And that has to be, from the Packers' perspective, the drive of the game, to make that throw, to make that catch. And look, that's another example of why you probably shouldn't have played Watson. You didn't know he was going to injure himself the way he did, but look at what Heath did with the opportunity. Look what Bo Melton has done when he's gotten more opportunities than he has this year. So, again, if we're using hindsight, we can use it on the timeout. We can certainly use it on the decision to play Watson. But that is clearly the drive of the game. I was actually trading texts yesterday with my guys, Scott Flitt and Mike Hansen at Boucher Automotive in Greenfield at the Nissan dealership. They're hardcore Packers fans. I'm sure they're not happy either. I'll have to ask them how harshly they critique the timeout, though.
Nicely done. All right, the injuries. You talked a little bit about it. The Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin, our injury report. Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin, there is a difference. Visit orthowisconsin.com today for info. It's Watson.
Look, the fact that Love is going to be okay is enormous, obviously, because even someone who likes Malik Willis like I do has to admit that the chances of them going into Philly and winning with Malik Willis at quarterback they're not zero, but they're close. So Love has to play like he has early in the season. The problem is, and this we didn't even get into this, is the fact, frankly, that their passing game the last 2 weeks with Love has not looked very good. It has looked out of sync, and that is a major concern.
Yep.
Because they were humming at one point, and now they are not. And, you know, to Gary's question last week about whether, you know, making this a Jacobs-centric offense has stripped Love of his, being himself, I don't know. Gary, you and I agree on a lot of things. I just think he hasn't played well. And whether or not that's because he's not gripping it and ripping it, maybe that's part of it. But his accuracy has not been good enough. I think he would tell you that. And they can't win if he's not accurate. And he wasn't accurate in the first half of last season. That was a huge problem. He got more accurate. They got better. This season, I thought his accuracy was off because of the injuries he was coming back from. And then he got more accurate, and their offense started humming. And now lately, he's been inaccurate again. So you know, to me, that's it's good that he's going to be healthy enough to play. The Watson thing, I just think, is devastating. He finally was healthy for virtually the entire season. The hamstring conundrum had been solved. He's going into his fourth year, which is a huge year. If it is, in fact, the ACL tear, to have it happen on January 5th makes it very, very, very difficult for him to be back next season. And given how important his speed is to his game, I mean, I can't imagine he's ready for the opener next year. So, to me, that is a catastrophic injury, both for him personally and for this offense, because they don't have a player anything like him. He is a unicorn for this team. And to lose him, if you had any reason for optimism for a playoff run before, I feel like that would extinguish most of it, that he's not going to be available.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
All right, bye.
Jason Wilde, All Packers All the Time. More with Gary Ellerson. We're getting close to the end, and Gary, you're going to help me there. Killing me on Twitter over asking the question, and I was curious after we had a caller say about Malik Willis, who would you like the Packers starting quarterback to be against the Eagles? I want to give you time to think on this. 85%
I already know what the people are saying.
Well, no, 85% say Jordan Love, 15% say Willis. I thought it would be 90-10. So your response to those percentages next.